Like, come on, that's awesome. I was like, you're a cyborg. I was like, all we need to do is time travel next, and then I'm all set.
Welcome, and this is Far Betterment. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Far Betterment, the podcast where we learn new things about old friends and old things about new friends. In this episode, I have a very special guest and fellow podcaster, Justin from Eastside Podcast. If you don't subscribe to him already, I will link his podcast in the description and be sure to click on it and subscribe and listen and rate. I had a great time speaking with Justin. It's my first podcaster, and we got a chance to pick each other's brains and talk about our process and recording an episode. And I just really want to thank him for being on. I had a great time. And without further ado, here's Justin from Eastside Podcast.
Hello.
Hello, is this Justin?
Yes, this is.
Hey, Justin, this is Andrew from Far Betterment.
Hey, Andrew, how are you?
Good. How are you? I'm glad we finally got a chance to meet up or link up here.
Yeah, me too. That was pretty crazy that night that Instagram went on the fritz.
Yeah, I've seen that happen a few times, unfortunately, but I've never run into the situation where the phone number is lost in my messages. So that...
Hey, no worries. I'm glad we were able to reschedule.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much for doing that too, by the way. I really appreciate it.
Oh, not a problem. How's your evening going?
So far so good. Trying to stay busy. A lot of rain out today. But not too bad.
Yeah, right? Jeez.
Yeah, how is yours?
It's well. Just relaxing at home with my wife. And yeah, same over here. Very rainy. Are you in Philadelphia?
No,
are
no.
You local?
No, actually, I'm in North Carolina.
But North Carolina. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. So I think we must be getting probably the same storm system here.
Oh yeah, I think so. I mean, it's we've been getting nothing but rain for I don't know. Actually, this whole entire year so far has been super rainy here. Actually, more
oh, really?
So than ever.
That's interesting. Oh, yeah. I've never been out to Pennsylvania, but do you guys get like a lot of rain typically, or is it pretty dry? I'm not really sure your guys' climate there.
Generally, we get, you know, just like, I guess like a moderate amount of rain. Yeah, sometimes we, you know, we'll go into those dangerous times where they'll tell you that it's, you know, it's easy to, you know, accidentally set a fire because everything's dry and stuff like that. So you have to, like they won't, you know, sometimes allow you to have like a burning permit or something like that because it's too dry out. So, we haven't had that in a while, but this entire year, like the winter and everything this year was pretty strange. And then it just was just a lot of rain and, it just keeps coming. And, I mean, I've never seen the plants so lush and beautiful. It's actually like becoming like a jungle around a lot of places. It's pretty interesting to see. It's because there's so much moisture.
That's nice though, actually. It's nice to see all the plants blooming and things being green. I'm from Colorado, so we don't have a lot of plants there, and there's not a lot of you know, there's obviously forest and stuff like that, but there's always fire danger, and you know, it's very dry.
Yeah. Colorado, I've never been, but it looks so beautiful.
Yeah, it's great. You know, I really love North Carolina. Colorado is a beautiful place, but when you live there, I think you kind of take all that stuff for granted. So you don't, or maybe just me. So I didn't really get up to the mountains much. I didn't really, you know, go hiking a lot. I do that stuff a lot more now that I go visit.
Okay.
But yeah, I didn't originally. So I kind of wasted my time being there by not doing anything. So.
You waste your time, man.
Yeah, seriously. are you from Pennsylvania originally, or did you move there?
I actually moved here. I'm actually originally from Maine.
Okay.
I moved down in 1998.
Okay. So
I've actually now lived in Philadelphia longer than I was from my hometown of Limerick, Maine.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty interesting because there's a Limerick, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's the one I'm familiar with.
Yeah, yeah. So, moved down in 98 with the ambition of going to doing recording engineering and stuff at the Art Institute. And I had a couple months before I was actually going to start the program. And then I got a letter saying that they were canceling the program and I was already moved down here. I was like, oh, this is quite interesting.
Yeah. Not ideal.
So, yeah. Yeah. So, sort of chose a different path, but here I am now. But it's crazy because it's gone by so fast. Actually, it's amazing how time just can blow by you. And I've been, and you look back, you're like, wait a minute, I've been here since 1998, of pre 2000. Like, wow, I can't believe I've lived here longer than I lived in the town that I grew up in. It's pretty crazy to think of that sometimes.
So do you feel more like you're from Philadelphia now or from Maine?
Definitely at heart, I'll always be from Maine, no matter how long I live anywhere else, just because mm-hmm. that's the home, you know what I mean? That's the homestead. Yeah. I would like to move back at some point in time. It would be nice. I do love it. I love it more now than as a kid. So I don't know if you live in Colorado when you were a kid. Is that why you didn't go hiking? You were like, whatever, I don't care about the mountains and stuff like that.
Yeah. It was kind of like that. Just, I was born and raised there. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like pain in the ass to go get any, go everywhere and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you have to have a car. And if you don't have a car, you have to have a friend or, you have to get, those are the days you have to give them gas money or give like their brother or their sister gas money to bring you anywhere. So that's why I was like, I hate Maine. I can't wait to live in a city. And then like, after you live in a relatively big city like Philadelphia, you just kind of realize that, sometimes people really love it, but after a while, I'm just like, I'm just really, I'm more of a country person at heart. And I really, every time I go home, I'm just like, okay, I don't want to leave. Just like, I love being there,
Yeah.
I love going hiking there and going places and taking my wife to some of the spots that we used to go to when I was super young. She really enjoys it as well too. So it's really cool to have that change. It must be a maturity thing, I guess, maybe, you start to, or it's a time thing.
Yeah. You
start to really, like different things, now than you didn't, or you really see the beauty in something and you're just like, you kind of took it for granted. Or, it all depends. But, I've just definitely always think I'm from there. But, it's Philly's cool, man. I've seen it change quite a bit, actually. So it's pretty interesting to see
what
the city change.
What kinds of changes have you, lived through there or experienced?
Well, one of the things that we used to move around a lot. Like me and my buddies, we used to always think it was fun to basically move around every year. Even that sounds crazy, but we just used to love getting new apartments in different neighborhoods. So my first apartment was the people that used to live there. They were crack dealers.
Nice. Okay.
And so, so then, they weren't crack dealers. Crack dealers didn't live there anymore, but still the people who their customers would still come around from time to time and knock on the window while we're watching TV or knock on the door. And like, we have to tell them go away and they didn't believe us and stuff. So it was pretty crazy, but our neighbors were very friendly and very, just giving, they were very welcoming to the community, even though like it wasn't that great of a neighborhood at the time. We actually lived right around the corner from like where the Roots lived and where they grew up, right on Grace Ferry and stuff like that at the time they used to play around there quite a bit, which was pretty neat. But,
that's super cool. Yeah.
Yeah. You just start to see different, obviously different construction and I guess, whatever you feel about gentrification, that definitely is what's happening in a larger aspects of Philadelphia to really try to change it faster. than, you know, and so there's definitely some tensions there, with that style of, overhaul. And I completely understand. It's definitely not, I don't necessarily agree with the way it's done. I feel that it could be definitely done a lot better, than it is now, but that could be a whole nother discussion.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
but yeah, so, you know, I've seen, you know, whole entire blocks of Broad Street and South where I'm living now, South Broad Street is like, there was all Section 8 houses for a while, and then they all got leveled, and then it was just an open lot for, I don't know, a couple of years. And now, oh my God, now, like, after it went under construction, now it's like these super expensive apartments, and they're trying to put these sort of upscale restaurants there now, and there's the cellular, you know, phone businesses going in there, and I think there's a chiropractor there now and stuff like that. So there's so many sections that are just changing, and it's cool to see. It's, you know, and crazy to see all at the same time, and just how short of a time that, you know, 20 years really is here. 21, I guess now, geez. Just to see that how fast we can change neighborhoods and change the way a city looks. So, you know, especially with the high rises, the new high rises that are all built up and stuff, the new Comcast Center, that looks like a building straight out of like an X-Men film. Seriously. Like, it looks like something's going to fly out of the center of it, 'cause there's like this super big square, high up in the top. It's kind of like it's indented, and it looks like the, you know, the X-Wing is going to just shoot out of there. It's pretty cool. It's like a very,
oh wow,
high tech building. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, that does. So, that's really interesting, actually. I'm just pulling it up right now. That's very cool.
Yeah. And then there's another brand new building. I mean, there's so much that has really happened. So much expansion has really happened. Bigger parks, you know, there's a brand new skate park, that was actually done, all basically through my friend Josh Nims, who I've known for quite some time, who has been a longtime skateboarder, who's supported the skateboarding scene, ever since he was skating. And, he knew there was a need for, another park here other than the iconic FDR park. So he worked his butt off to, really pick out, get the city to like give him a chunk of land, and like he was fighting for all this stuff. And I mean, he literally got Tony Hawk here into the city to like promote it and do a press conference and stuff on the plot of land. And then eventually they broke ground, and now we have Franklin Payne Skate Park right by the art museum, and it's a pretty cool park. So it's really cool to see like what people can actually do. You know, he was just one person, that was his idea, and he just saw it through, you know, and he changed Philadelphia, honestly. You know what I mean? He gave skateboarders a place to go. So that was great to see.
I really like that you brought that up. You know, what people can do and how they can change things and how quickly. And that kind of leads me into my next question. You know, how has all that changed you over the last 21 years? You know, who do you think you were then, compared to now?
Oh God. Then I was definitely a lot more selfish. You know, definitely not really thinking too much of others, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. More of like myself. Not in mean ways, just like in everyday life, just sure. kind of just more in my head in the clouds, I guess you could say, sort of thing. That still happens from time to time now, but I definitely, from being here and meeting all the kinds of different people, and just hearing their stories too, and podcasting with them as well, you learn so much about, there's just so many different people out there, obviously, and you just learn so much about somebody usually within like the first 5 minutes of actually sitting down and having an actual conversation with them, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that I guess I would say that certain people inspired me to be better, to be a better person, to think about, like, you know, what the hell am I doing? Like, why am I like this? And, you know, I think there's things that I can improve and that I should improve on with this and that. And, you know, one thing that inspired me was to start doing community cleanups here. So I've done a few of those, and, you know, I gather anywhere from 10 to 15, 20 people sometimes will show up, and I'll actually, we'll get cleaning. We'll sweep up, we'll pick up most of the cigarette, you know, butts that we can, and, you know, any of the trash that's laying around, and we'll do that for almost a mile or so. We'll fill up a bunch of bags, and somebody donates their truck to be the trash truck, and then we all haul it to the dump and take it there. And, you know, something like that, you know, is to give back to the community, and to not even just the community, like, you're giving back to the planet especially when you're doing something like that, when you're cleaning up pollution or trash that's everywhere that shouldn't be there, or, you know, even getting syringes. Unfortunately, we have a huge problem here with, you know, the heroin and opiate epidemic. So unfortunately, you'll see random syringes in the subway, you'll see them on the sidewalk, you'll see them in somebody's planter, which is very dangerous. So, you know, we also have to be very careful out there too with doing that. So, you know, we want to make sure that we're cleaning up their schoolyards that, again, we'll have, you know, the syringes in the schoolyard and stuff. So
wow.
We always have to make sure that we keep that in mind while we're cleaning, because you have to be very, very careful. But yeah, there's people who've inspired me to keep my podcast going when I didn't want to, when I felt like nobody cared. So, you know, having that, I feel that's now married. You know, I've been married for, you know, this year is going to be 11 years. You know, we've been married, which is awesome. Yeah, thank you. And we've known each other for about 16. So, you know, knowing her over this time has definitely, you know, changed me to be more patient. I definitely had a lot shorter of a temper, you know, that took a little while, but, you know, I think everybody has their limit and everybody has their tempers. And unfortunately, fuses are longer than, you know, or shorter than others. You know, so it's just, there's a lot of, I guess, inner reflection, especially on yourself, that you end up doing, which you have to do. And if you don't, then you might not get ahead as far as, like, improving yourself if you want to fully. So that's another thing that has changed, more sort of self reflection and thinking about, like, how to, again, how did I, that was dumb, or what, why did I just say something that was clearly not right to say, or, you know, just anything, and sort of, yeah, sort of call yourself out on things. And I just try to always be better, I think, is what has mostly changed. I've always been creative, and I've been still trying to pump out, you know, content and creativity and creating music and doing weird things or doing fun projects. So I would say that's just because meeting so many people has really been inspiring, just for my life here.
Do you find, like, because I think we kind of do a similar thing as far as the podcast. You've obviously been doing this much, much longer than I have. Do you find that, like, every person that you speak with, because I find for myself, I really feel like I kind of learned something either about myself or, and this is going to sound weird, but, like, humanity in general, every person I talk to, and that there are a lot of similarities between people, but I've found, like, the difference in how they deal with things is that what separates everybody. And obviously some of us deal with things better or worse than others, but I don't want this to sound terrible. I hope it doesn't, but I feel like I kind of take a piece of every guest I've had on and add it to myself. Sort of like I'm, you know, building myself to try to be a better person. Do you think that you do that as well, or are you kind of just absorbing everything, or?
I mean, I think there's definitely a little of that. I mean, I guess there is a reason why I reached out to that person, to be on. And you know, and I know that, you know, like our style of podcasts are different, but they're similar in a way too as well. So, you know, like I've just had a bunch of different array of guests on, so there's definitely a lot of absorption, especially when it's like a neuroscientist. It's like, wow, there's a lot of like, whoa, me, them blowing my mind, or, you know, me trying to sound smart and not really knowing what I'm talking about, and, you know, calling myself out in the middle of the podcast, and, you know, they get a good kick out of it that at least I'm trying to, you know, relate to the, you know, relate to their language, you know, and, or if I do say something correctly, a lot of the time it's really, they're like, oh, so I could tell somebody's been doing some reading. I'm like, yes, I have, you know, kind of thing. So yeah, it's definitely, you know, when I did a series with cannabis patients, that definitely was different. That changed, because now I'm speaking with people who are living with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I'm speaking, you know, with people who have epilepsy or, you know, muscular dystrophy. So sitting with them is a lot different than sitting with, you know, somebody who's like talking about asteroids, which is great, you know, but there's a whole different dynamic there. So that changes, I guess, the way it is, you know. So I feel that I'm definitely absorbing from them as well, but I don't know. It just makes me reflect again on myself and go, and yeah, so when you're bitching about having to walk somewhere that you don't want to, or ride your bike to go 5 blocks to go get it, pick up Redbox and bring it home, just realize that so-and-so can't do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, I'm not saying that, oh, here's my idea, I'm going to have people on that have ailments so they can, so I can feel something, like they can put me in check. But no, it's, I wanted to give people a platform, A, because I, wholeheartedly agree with people's choice to medicate how they want to. And I feel that if people need and want a platform and they feel that they can come on and share their life story about the terrible shit that happens to them. Yeah. Sorry, I don't.
No, you're sorry, nope, totally fine.
I don't know if we can do that. Cool.
Nope, we are explicit cool. Here. No worries at all.
This is my second podcast that I've ever been on, as far as like being on the other side. So I should have asked prior. Sorry about that.
Oh, no, not at all.
I'm a novice guest.
You're totally fine. You know what? I am, but, as well. So I have not, on my end, I haven't done that yet. So,
Yeah. it's different. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's cool. It's, but yeah, I mean, yeah, so it's, I just wanted to give people a platform. So, you know, if you're willing to come on and share your story and your life story, no matter what it is, it doesn't have to be you suffering from an ailment, or I shouldn't say suffer, living with an ailment. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a story you want to share, then, you know, it's all for it, you know? So it's definitely interesting. It definitely changes. You learn something new about a person as a guest. You know, you learn something about them, but you learn about all the things that are just, because you're always just focused on your life.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, for the most part, right? You're going to work, you're getting up, you're taking a shower, you have to eat, you gotta, you know, at least in my life, I have a wife, you know, we got to pay bills. I mean, everybody's got to pay bills. You know, we got a mortgage to pay, you know, we've got a dog. So we got to, you know, make sure we're home at a certain time to let her out, to feed her, da, 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 walk her, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Have to spend time together, do all the, you know, the fun, naughty things together, you know, the eating together, the mundane things together, you know what I mean? So it's just like, you're always really thinking about, most of the time, just yourselves and the people that are only in your circle, honestly, or whoever you spend the most time with.
Yeah.
And if that's just yourself, that's yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. But You know, so when you start to meet all different kinds of people and you know, at least what I do is in, you know, they were always coming to my home. So they were in person, I'm meeting them. Like I carried my friend in, Bernadette. She has CMT, which is Charcot-Marie-Tooth disorder. And Charcot-Marie-Tooth are the three physicians who discovered this disease. As people think, oh, Charcot-Marie-Tooth, do you have like dead teeth or something? You know, your teeth are rotten teeth or something? They're like, no. Those are just the names of the physicians who discovered this particular type of ailment. But like, you know, it carried her into my home and because she couldn't walk up the stairs. It's things like that, you know. And I had already met her, and I was like, I want you to come on the podcast because she's doing so many positive things. She's changing the community. She just got like a bunch of these awesome ramps for handicapped people who are in, like, you know, like you're going to the beach, you're a handicapped person, your buck stops at the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. You're not going any further unless you have one of those newfangled tank. The beach tanks, they're really cool.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, they actually have those things. They're really cool. They're like these two little treads. It's like basically a wheelchair on super steroids. It's got two literal tank treads, but mini. But like not everybody can afford that. Not everybody wants to do that anyways. They want to be able to ride their you know, their scooter, whatever, their motorized scooter, whatever it is, or their wheelchair itself. So she actually got all these ramps installed to actually get you really far in down to the water where, you know, you can actually enjoy yourself more so they have to see it from afar. So that was one of her initiatives for New Jersey. And that's, you know, what she did. So and it's really happening. So it's really cool to see. Yeah, man. She's, you know, it's so awesome to see, you know, somebody who, at the age of, you know, since she could walk and run till about the age of 12, she's athletic. She's jumping around, doing cartwheels, playing outside, riding a bike, swimming. Age of 13 starts to get a little more fatigued. It doesn't really, the energy is really not as much there. And then just the muscles start to go. And then by the time she's 16, 17 years old, she can't do any of those things anymore. And it's like, what just happened to that person's life? Like it just takes it away. And then unfortunately that disease runs in her family. Her father had it as well. So, and you know, so she's definitely like a super strong person, super positive, and it's just awesome. You know, so she's, you know, again, somebody who inspired me to, you know, just keep sharing people's stories too, as well, you know, and getting more people on. I think she was one of the first that I had on for the show when I created that sort of strip of series. Like all the guests in a row were all cannabis patients with all different ailments, just to showcase A, that it does help them, B, you know, what they're doing in their lives and who they are, you know? So, yeah, those are definitely those were the most powerful, I would say, mm-hmm. guests. So those guys, you know, every single one of them are friends of mine now. I know them all. It's cool to see how they've changed over the years too, as well. Things like I just had one of Ills on. She has muscular dystrophy. She looks so good. I haven't seen her in like a year and a half or so. She looks so strong. She was walking. She wasn't in her chair. She came up the stairs with her awesome walking stick and everything. I was like, that is awesome. That's what I want to see. And she's just totally crushing life. She's crushing it. And she's an ambassador now for Tokativity. And it's like this complete huge thing for women's empowerment and entrepreneurship for women and empowering women to get into the cannabis industry and all other aspects of business and stuff. And she's like the whole East Coast, you know, ambassador liaison who's like takes helm of like planning like the Philadelphia, you know, and like the New York and Maryland and Delaware, everywhere. So it's, she's like, I'm not letting this is not going to beat me. No, it might beat me down sometimes, but no, this is not going to beat me. It's not going to tell me that I can't live my life and do the things that I want to do. Like, It's just like, you know, like, it's just so great to hear that from people, because it really is. Especially when I hear people complain about just like day-to-day life. Oh, like, I do it too. Like, man, I don't necessarily like going to work. You know, all the time. It's just like,
sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You just have to, again, you have to put things into perspective. You know, what do you have? And you have to make, you know, and look at what other people don't have. So I don't know. You know, that's definitely I guess I keep going back to that, honestly. Sorry, but
no, not at all.
I think that's probably the most profound effect that it's had, is just to keep constant reflection on yourself and try to just be the best you can be every day, honestly.
It's, for myself, it's really been my favorite thing, I think. You know, I can really relate to what you're saying, because yeah, I've got that same, you know, feeling every time somebody tells me something that they've persevered through or that they've lived with, and I see them so like positive and so like strong, I guess, for lack of a better word. And just the fact that they keep pushing along and they don't stop and they have that same attitude that your friend Bernadette has, or your friend, I'm sorry, the one that was part of the Togativity, what was her name?
Ilse.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, I didn't want to get her name wrong.
Ilse, yeah.
But yeah, like where she was like, this isn't going to beat me. Like I run into that all the time, and it just really reminds me, you know, God, what are you like doing? Why are you so mad about this little thing? Or, you know, so yeah, I totally understand that. And, I'm actually really glad that you brought it up, because I never really know if that's conveyed or if, you know, other people don't recognize that or feel it also. Or so it's, I'm glad somebody else understands.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's pretty, you know, pretty, again, I think it's just an amazing thing just to hear all the different types of stories, and no matter who your guest is, you know,
yeah,
really, honestly,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, you know, it's like, I've been having a lot of fun recently by just trying to do way more on location ones rather than, I don't mind people coming over to the house. I think it's cool. You know, especially, I don't know, it was just kind of neat. Like, I'm not like all that gushy about celebrities and stuff like that, but it's cool to have, like, I had Riley Cote over my house because he was on the podcast, and I was just like, that's cool. He's actually a former Philadelphia, you know, professional hockey player.
I do actually, yeah, I follow hockey pretty closely, actually. I'm a huge hockey fan.
Yeah. He was he was an enforcer. So yeah, so if you know who he was, he was like the assistant coach for the Phantoms and stuff like that, and the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, I think that's who they are. And now he's got a hemp company called Body Check or something like that. So he's really, you know, changing, you know, his evolution was cool to see, like to hear his story going from somebody who's the punch the shit out of other dudes on ice skates, dancing around a ring. That was mainly what his job was. And then to go from that to, you know, educating people about concussions and head trauma and, you know, and the support that NFL players need. And you need to look out for concussions more often and see when a player is ready to actually go back in, because they always put him in way too soon, honestly. But anyways, so, you know, it's like that was cool to have that guest on, you know, and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, the on location ones, I think, are a little extra special, just because I think it makes the guest feel a little bit better. Like, oh, cool, I don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes they do, like, this last one, I had a guy, his name's Britt James, and he met me on this new, there was like an abandoned trestle that hadn't been used for years and years and years in Philadelphia, even before I got here. So I mean, we're talking like 30, 40 years probably, or even longer. And they just, in the last past 3 or 4 years, changed it into a walkway garden, and you can walk up there, and there's really cool swinging benches that like are, it's like overlooking this, you know, kind of the city, not really too high, but it's a really cool view and a really neat park, and it's a cool way they, you know, the city has repurposed something that was just sitting there and doing nothing when they can actually change it into something that's useful. So I thought that would be a great place to do a podcast outdoors. It was a beautiful night, you know, to get some B-roll, because I shoot video for the teasers when I release the podcast, because I thought like a video teaser would be cool to use as a promotional thing to get you to listen to the rest of the podcast. So that's been working out well, and I've been having a lot of fun doing that too. Yeah, it's just, I've been trying to just keep it interesting and changing it up, you know, and it's cool going to artist studios and to see them in actual action while they're in their element working. So I prefer that rather than somebody just coming over to my house and sitting in my dining room surrounded by some foam walls that I have, you know, and,
yeah,
you know, drinking some beers or water or whatever the guest wants and, you know, just talking. But it's cool. I like to do walkabouts, so I have like a little portable recorder, and you know, so what if you get traffic in the background or birds chirping, I mean, or kids screaming or laughing, playing, all that stuff, it's nature, man. It's the world, it's what we live in, so you hear it every day. So if you it's not bothersome in a podcast, as long as you're not right next to a screaming child, I guess, trying to you know, talk to somebody. But you know what I mean, like, you know, go to a park and stuff and podcast and, you know, separate yourself from the people a little bit, but like you'll still end up picking them up, but it's still nice to hear, you know, you can still hear the questions or the discussion going on. And it's kind of cool. It's kind of nice to put you in an element, you know, if you're in an office space, you know, you can kind of like, feel nature and wind, and you know, you'll hear the wind a little bit and stuff. So, you know, you gotta just change it up, I guess, you know, that's what I kept or wanting to do. I think, and I was just getting a little too bored with just having people constantly come to my house and do that. So, you know, and it got a little weird for my wife. She's like, you realize that you're just, you know, half these people you don't actually know. You just kind of met them sort of online, essentially, or, you know, and you're inviting them over to our house. And I'm like, well, you know, think of how weird it is for them too. They could be coming over and I could just kill them and put them in the basement. You know what I mean? Like they don't know that they don't know. And I don't know.
So great point.
Like,
yeah.
You know, are we playing chicken here? Like, no, like I guess we kind of are, but you know, when they come over and see the walls all set up and the microphones and everything, you know, all ready to rock and roll. And
yeah.
You know, they I think they relax and they realize, oh, okay. And then some of them are nervous and some aren't, and some podcasts go way smoother than others, either because of something dumb technically that I did, or the guests could be so nervous that their answers are super short, and you're kind of like left like, oh, I didn't realize you were done, and you sort of, you're almost like not on your game now, you're like, uh-oh,
yeah,
I just lost control of being the host, and then you like, you know, it's happened to me a few times where you're like, oh, wow, that was a really short answer. I didn't expect that. So, you know, you kind of fumble a little bit. But hey, I keep all that shit in, man. I think that's important.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. I really hate cutting the episodes. I hate cutting things out of them. You know, unless somebody explicitly asks me to remove something, I'm the same way. Yeah. I don't want to. I hate this term, but I like to keep it real.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I mean, like
as authentic as a better term, yeah.
Yeah, I've been doing this for a while, 2012. I have an audio engineering background anyways. And so, you know, when I first started podcasting, like I had a bunch of studio equipment, but I just didn't really understand how to use it for podcasting. I only understand how to like mic a drum set and like, you know, mic somebody who's talking or doing a vocalist, or I'm going to do a cool mic setup on this acoustic guitar, you know what I mean? And have three mics on it. Like that's the kind of miking that I'm used to and audio engineering. But you know, when my buddy was like, we should do a podcast. And I was like, oh, that's stupid. Nobody cares about us. Like, what are you talking about? I was like, you're talking about talk radio, man. That stuff's boring, dude. I was like, I don't want to hear two idiots talk about dumb shit. I was like, that's basically, he was like, no, man, you don't understand. It's like the next fucking thing. And I'm like, okay. I was like, let's try it out. And man, it was bad because we didn't know what to do. So we had to do it over cell phones. And he would we would have the conversation over the cell phone, and I would record my end over with a microphone, and he had a microphone and he would record on his end. And we would literally go, okay, ready. We know there's going to be a lag time, but 3, 2, 1, boom, record. And we would both hit record. And I didn't really have to do too much nudging by the time he sent it to me. It was like, oh, okay, it's pretty lined up. I didn't have to do too much editing. And then from there, you know, I was like, okay, we got to do something. I have all these awesome microphones. How can I integrate it, you know, and still incorporate it online? Because he was in Rhode Island and I was here. So it was a co-host thing for a while. And yeah, and we were doing, it was, again, the same thing. He would send me the file, but my microphone upgraded tremendously. And it was it's a condenser. And apparently after a while, years into reading about when people are like, this is the equipment you need. And this is what you need to have to start a podcast. And this is how you have to do it. And I just started laughing at so much of the stuff that people were like, blah, blah, blah. Well, I do this. And I was like, that's a lot of work for what? What are you doing? What are you compressing? Why are there limiters? What's happening? I was like, why are you guys doing so much stuff in post? And you know, and then people were like, condenser microphone, why are you, don't you pick up so much more noise? I'm like, sure. Not really, but okay. You know, it's all how you angle it. It's all how you, microphone placement is key, man. I mean, yeah, there's noisy situations that you're not going to get out of unless you put a barrier around the microphone, which, you know, sometimes you have to think ahead and do that. But that's just me. I come, again, from an audio engineering background. A lot of these people don't. They just come from a podcasting background, and they had to learn how to hook up the audio equipment. And, hey, they got it running online, and awesome, cool. And that's great for them. I love that. But it's so funny when people really get bent out of shape about you questioning them. Wait, you don't compress? No, I don't ever compress any podcast ever. What? Why would I? Unless there's a part where I have a guest that is going on a rant where they're screaming so loud that I've got to do some crazy stuff in SoundForge or whatever. Other than that, you know, we're just having a conversation. There's no need to compress anything. I'm still scratching my head on it. And people try to explain it to me, but I go, yeah, it doesn't make sense to me from an audio engineering experience, background. You would do it on vocals of somebody singing, sure. You know, somebody like Mike Patton or, you know, somebody screaming or anybody, any sort of singer you might want to add some compression to. But just for talking, I don't really know. I don't get it. So I've since banned myself from Reddit because I was getting into these evil wars with people. So I decided that they were bringing out the worst in them, and I was letting them bring out the worst in me. So I decided that I'm deleting Reddit and I'm never going back to it because I can't. I can't. That's one of those I can't even
it's
moments.
It's a dangerous place.
I'm done. It is a very dangerous place, but every social media place is a dangerous place. But
true.
You can usually have open dialogue with people, you know?
Yeah.
It's just when I'm asking you, why are you doing this? They take it as that I'm being a jerk to them. I'm like, I'm just asking why you feel the need to do all this stuff to your audio file. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I was trying to tell them, it sounds like you might not be doing the proper setup in pre, because technically what you really want to do is get the best sound possible before you hit record. And, you know, once you get the best sound you possibly can, you know, what you think is great, then you hit record. And then later on, you might want to, you know, add some EQ. Hey, fine. You can EQ all you want, whatever. I'm not saying that I don't ever throw on some EQ depending on the situation.
Sure. Yeah.
But most of the time I don't, because I'm letting my microphone do the work. I'm letting my voice do the work. I'm letting the guest voice do the work. I mean, I don't, I'm trying to make it sound as real as possible. It's a conversation, you know what I mean? So I'm not going to, you know, go crazy. Like it's so much crazy how it's evolved over the last 8 years of editing and like how production, how much production and what I do now. It's like, I've got it down packed to where it's just like, boom, 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 edit, slap that, listen to it real quick just to hear, like skip ahead a few parts. You know, sometimes I don't even really listen to the whole episode anymore.
Yeah.
I barely ever listen to my episodes anymore. Yeah. I should start doing that just once, just to be like, oh yeah, man, you got to work on that. You know, you're still doing this dumb thing that you really hate and other people might pick up on it, but you're definitely picking up on it. So somebody else probably does too. And that could, you know, potentially affect your, you know, your audience or the amount of engagement on that episode, whether the person finishes 20%, 80% or 100% on it. Obviously you want 100% on all your episodes, which is the best, but you know, you don't always get that sometimes. And it's not always on them too. It's not always like, screw that guy, I don't like what he just said. It could be like, oh, they got interrupted and they just forgot to go back to it. That's all, you know, they never finished it. But it's crazy just to see the evolution that I've done as far as, you know, pre-production and post-production, where post is barely anything, at all. So I have an intro that's already pre-recorded. I made it, you know, I made a new one obviously because I rebranded the podcast. So I made a whole new intro. I made two commercials for, you know, I consider them sponsors, but they're not technically like a sponsor. It's not really what a sponsorship is for what I'm doing with these guys.
Okay.
But for Elf, you know, for the partners in crime that I always mention at the end of the podcast, and that I've made the commercials for at the beginning. That's it. I just have those are all ready to rock. I just boom, boom, slap those in the timeline, you know, and I have channel, you know, me and the guest and, you know, the only thing I might do is put a little fade in, you know, obviously I chop off some of the stuff. Sometimes if it's like, oh, hang on, I've got to take a leak really bad, I got to take a piss, dude, like, okay, fine, I might edit that chunk out because I don't have anybody else to talk to. I'm not going to be like, so folks, I don't really do that kind of, I don't really do solo banter right now. So if somebody's got to go to the bathroom in the middle of a podcast, I will totally edit that little space out. That's fine. But other than that, like, I love it when I can just throw it on the timeline, throw a fade into the beginning, throw the end off, you know, put a fade out and put the music on the end and call it a damn day and just, you know, just make sure the levels are good on the speech versus the music that's playing in the background for the outro. You know, I used to try to keep the same song, but I don't care about that anymore. I think it's all about your intro. Your intro should probably be the same all the time, but just so people know when they hear something, they're like, oh hey, that's that.
Yeah.
But you know, as far as an outro song is concerned, I like changing it up, so I'm glad I'm working with a band from Indiana that's allowing me to use their stuff for nothing. I love their stuff, that's all. I'm just a big supporter, so I'm glad that they're, you know, basically it, yeah, you know, I think it's all about working together anymore. There's no competition. There's really hardly anybody, you know, compensation. What do I get out of this? Like,
yeah,
if you want to do it, do it. If you don't want to do it, then don't, you know, if you don't feel that it's like being on the podcast is worth your time, then please don't come on because you probably won't have a good time, but maybe you will. And then you'll be surprised and you won't really care about, you know, how many people actually listen to your episode. You know, I have to always tell people, I'm like, listen, I'm sorry. I'm like, I am not at the point where I'm about ready to drop a bunch of money to start really super promoting. I was like, I'm doing this now, but I was like, as far as my reach, like sometimes when people ask me like my reach and what my audience is, it kind of annoys me, and that's on me, you know, cause I should expect that from somebody who is giving me their time. You know what I mean? Like somebody who's like, hey, well, my time is valuable. So if you want me to come on your damn podcast for an hour or two, then, you know, what is it that sort of I can get out of it? You know, and I get it.
Sure. Yeah. So, that's understandable. Yeah.
you know, so I don't know. Have you run into any difficult guests or any where you ask somebody and they're just like, no, I'm good. I don't want to be on the podcast.
Not really. No, I've had, one person, I guess the oddest one or just the most different one, I've had is somebody reached out to me for their boss, to schedule. And so that was, yeah, that was kind of interesting. But other than that, yeah, everybody I've booked has reached out to me, to book. So
that's cool.
I've been pretty lucky. Yeah. I try to give people the opportunity to book with me rather than me trying to chase them down. I feel like if you have a story to tell that you feel is very important and you want a platform to tell it and, you know, it's important enough to you, then you will reach out to me and I'll give you that, you know, and I'll be more than happy to have you.
That's awesome. I like that style.
So, well, I mean, I everybody's got a story to tell and, I just want to hear it. And I generally and sincerely just want to hear what you're about. I enjoy that. So I try to,
that's great.
Try to stick to that. But I don't know, what's been your oddest experience in that sense?
Nothing really too odd, I wouldn't say. Well, I had, so I've definitely dealt with like some secretaries before, like, especially with like the scientists and stuff, especially when mm-hmm. I had to reach out to, you know, universities or like a friggin', you know, like a weirdo. I'm like tracking these people down.
Oh, sure.
I'm like, oh yeah, so-and-so gave me your number. And they're like, okay. They're kind of caught off guard. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I felt like it was okay to call. And they're like, oh no, it's okay. I'll yell at them later. You know, what's up? And it's like, 10 minutes later, we're scheduling a podcast and I'm like, oh my God, I've got, you know, Professor Stephen Benner on. Like, oh, he was just in this BBC article that I just read. Holy crap. Like, that's awesome. I can't believe it. I just reached out and he was like, okay, you know?
Yeah. That's very
wow. Cool. Yeah. Wow. So like, it's very cool to like, to especially see someone like I was reading a book and I saw a professor in there and I got him on and I'm just like, that's just, I love being able to just reach out to people. And like, I guess I feel like sometimes I have like this special touch to like, these people have no idea who the hell I am. They know my, I'm like, I'm straight up about the podcast. Oh, I don't even have 5,000 downloads yet at all. And I've been doing this for 8 years and they're like, wow, you put a lot of work into this. Yeah. You know, but it is what it is. I definitely didn't know how to promote it in the beginning. And for a very long time, I had no idea how to promote it. And we didn't really care. We were just like, whatever.
Yeah.
We want to do this for fun. We don't want to do this for like, oh, we got to do a podcast to make money. Yeah. We want to do a podcast to be famous. Like, no, we're just trying to have fun, you know? And then it turned into something different, you know, where like now we're getting educational people on and learning about people and like, oh, okay, well, this is different now. So
yeah.
The oddest person that I had on was, we were having a discussion. I think it was a cannabis guest. Honestly, I don't remember their name at this point in time, but I wouldn't even say it anyway. Yeah, I wouldn't even call them out, but it doesn't matter. The podcast was going pretty well. It was like an educational podcast. On cannabis. And I was like, okay, this is all right, whatever. You know, we're doing good. We're having fun. We're laughing and stuff. We're having a great time. And then somehow like in 45 minutes, we veered so far off from the education to conspiracy theories and then like anti-vaccinations. I was like, I'm sorry. I don't really want to go down that road right now. They're like, why? And I'm like, that's not what you don't believe. Oh no, I don't want to go there with you. Now we're going to start arguing about vaccinations and things and, conspiracy theories. And I was like, I just don't want to do that right now. I was like, I had a whole idea of like education tonight about that. And now we've veered so far off into conspiracy theory land. I'm like, that's great. We can do a podcast on that later. I'm like, just for this particular episode, can we just stick to the meat and potatoes as to, you know, what's going on here. 'Cause that's what people are expecting. I was like, yeah. I'm sorry. otherwise, if it's just like sort of like a, you know, I don't mind if the, if we go off the rails a little bit, it's fine. You know, we go off the rails all the time. Like, you guys were just talking about this, and then it just happens. It is what it is. It's a natural conversation. But that just kind of was too much for me. I was like, I can't go down these insane roads of flat earth and vaccinations and, you know, no, not right now. Not right now. I'm sorry. I don't have the mental capacity. If we would have planned this, I could have been prepared for something. I could have prepared at least some sort of arguments.
Yeah.
against you on some of your things.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Have you ever, sorry, go ahead.
No. That was just the oddest, guest I've had.
Well, I was going to ask, have you ever like worried about the platform you are giving people or thought about like the responsibility you have? Or, you know, are you careful when you curate your guests?
Well, I guess it's not into a lot of insane things, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not into, listen, I'll entertain conspiracy theories on my own. Mm-hmm. And if there's somebody that I like, that's a close friend and they want to come on the podcast and they want to talk about, you know, something, some sort of conspiracy theory, then I'm all about it. I'll do it. I'll entertain it. And I'm like, you know, if I want to, I'll do it. I don't, that's all it is. We're just talking. But as far as giving, you know, yeah, if I were to give somebody a platform for like hate speech, listen, again, I'm all about the first, you know, free speech and everything like that. But like, I personally am not going to give somebody a platform for hate speech. So I wouldn't do that. You know, I would gladly have certain debates going on of people who disagree in certain things. I would definitely have that on because I would like to see, I like to have people view and see both sides of the argument. So I think I'm just fortunate of the things that I like. I like weird things. I like sciencey stuff. I like technology. So I seek out scientists or people who are involved in technology or close friends that I know that are doing really cool things. And then through them, they'll be like, oh, you know who you need to have on? I'm going to hook you up with this guy. Da, 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 da. He does this and he does this and he does this. And I'm like, okay, awesome. And then I'll have that person on. You know what I mean? So it kind of just sort of trickles down through there by in nature, knowing good people and, you know, fun people that they'll associate themselves with the same type of, you know, with fun people and good people. And, oh, this guy would be perfect. Oh, this person she would be great. Oh man, you got to have her on. You got to go to her glass studio and see her in action. Like, okay, awesome. Let me know. Let me know how to get a hold of her. And I just reach out. It's like a cold call. Hey, so-and-so, blah, 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 I ran into, and da, 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 da. And they're like, hell yeah. They're almost always like, hell yeah. So excited. And I'm like, okay, awesome. That's what I like when there's a guest that doesn't even care. They don't give a shit. They're just like, wait, somebody wants me to do a podcast. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm all about it. Just let me know. Let me know when. I'm like, yes, thank you. Oh, great. Let's not worry about the followers. Let's not worry about the reach. Like I get it. Like I said, going back to everybody's time. Everybody's time is worth something, but and to each individual is different. The time is a different amount of worth to them, and I get it. But you just got to think like it's a collaboration. And if we all just get together, and you know, the more people like I guess you and I like we're two podcasters talking, you know, but I am your guest. No matter what I do on my end, whether I was a podcaster or not, we're still having this conversation. But
sure, yeah,
I think like podcasters need to stop. You know, the people need to stop. I don't see it as much anymore. But I was seeing it just was like more of like a competition thing. I'm like, my podcast is better. Come on, man, like. Well, let's do the way the comics do. Like the comics, the comedians nowadays have it's been changing so much that it's instead of competition and saying like, oh, that guy, so I can't bring him on the road with me because he'll like destroy my act or something like that. No, these guys are just, they're all friends. They're all friends now. They all support each other. They all love it. They all tell each other like, no, dude, that joke sucked. Or like, you know, you need to work on this. and they're honest with each other, and then they bring each other on the road, and they're happy to like bring them up on their specials and stuff, and like and they're working together rather than like looking out for just themselves. Like, oh well, if people are laughing at your jokes, then and by the time they see me, they're not gonna laugh at my jokes because they're gonna be all laughed out. Like, you know, things like that. Like, so now it's like that community is all about working together, like the friendships and the camaraderie within the comedian arena, I guess I would say, is pretty cool. You know, I mean, there's probably some friendly competition going on there. Let's see who can like crush better or whatever, who thinks, you know, can roast each other better or something like that. And that's why they have their roast battles and blah, blah, blah. But like, if a lot of people just like sort of took that position, and like the way bands do, like working with other bands when they go on tour, like, cause they want to take them with them. Like if other podcasts worked with each other, like in different podcasts, like not the same podcast and talking about the same thing, but like, you know, two different, completely different podcasts. Sort of, I mean, they could do a mashup show one time where there's like four hosts, you know, like, hey, it's me from America, and we got these guys from South Africa on too, blah, 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 or, you know, whatever. There's so many different opportunities, and cross promotion is super important. That's definitely a painstake right sure, now. Yeah. Like, it's people just don't want to share your shit, and you're like, come on, man. Like, just all of it is a repost. It's tough. You know, it's really tough to even get some friends to like really not support it, but like to support it in that way where you're like, hey, can you just take the time to repost that in Instagram for me, please, just to get more eyes on it because you have some different followers than I do, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's been the toughest for us too, trying to get people to just, there's almost like such an aversion to social media nowadays that people just don't want to promote things, or I don't know, it's just really odd. But
yeah, they just, well, you know, what's in it for them? They don't want to promote it for, I guess, free. That's true. They're not they don't want to promote your show on their page because then it's going to take away from their brand. You're like, oh come on, man, that's not the way to think, man. You're being super selfish about your stuff, and like, yeah, there's moments where you really do need to focus on your stuff and your own your show and podcast, and yeah, you want to make sure everything goes right and sounds good. And there's a point of where you're like, yeah, I would like to have some listeners. It's nice to have somebody say like, yeah, I caught the show. It was cool. I don't really ever get that too much. Only every once in a while when I run into something like, yeah, man, I downloaded a couple episodes. You're Eastside Podcast. Oh, cool. Yeah, man, I heard a couple episodes. They were cool, man. Like, whether they're just saying that to be nicer or not, well, I don't know, you know, because I don't really know them, so it's just somebody saying that to me, so I gotta just say okay, thank you, you know. Yeah. Awesome, I'm glad you enjoyed it. It's weird. Yeah, it's strange, but I think it's changing quite a bit though, as far as like the promotions and stuff like, or like the cross, sort of like the cross promotions. And I just think that we all just need to sort of get together, all of us, and just sort of just once a week, you know, on your page, like promote a show, like promote that show, you know, and you could still promote your show too. It's just and as long as it's, hopefully what they'll do is return the favor as well. And you know, do the same thing for you. So like, if, you know, like we could all just get a bunch of people together, like a bunch of podcasters together, whether your show is huge or not, whether it's small or you've got, you know, 100,000, you know, whatever followers you might have. By doing that, the little people will really start to grow.
Yeah.
You'll still grow your 100K will still keep growing. I think there's probably a point of, you know, no return once you get to a certain amount of followers. You're just going to get them. You're just going to keep getting followers after a certain amount of numbers, I think. I don't really know how that works, but that's what it seems like. I don't think people just stop at, you know, at a number like, yeah, I got it. Yeah. They keep going. But, it's, if we could all just get like 5 shows, 6 shows, and try to get a range of following, right? You got to try to get like a range of following. Somebody's sort of the low man on totem pole, and you know, knows that at the moment because they just started and they're a brand new show, and of course they're the low man on totem pole. Unless they're a famous person, then they're immediately going to usually blow up, you know. And that's the greatness about being a celebrity and starting their own podcast. It's like, oh, you already have people who know you. So when you say you start a podcast, people are already like waiting to like, just when is it? And then they're downloading it and you're already at like, you know, 10,000 listens for your first episode in 2 days. And you're like, okay, I can, you know, whew. That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. You know? That must be pretty nice though.
I'm not knocking it, man. That's great. Yeah. I can't shit on that. Like that,
no,
that's
not
their
at all.
Situation. Yeah. They're fortunate. Like, what am I supposed to say? Give that up, man. Give it to me. No, 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 man. Like, I got to work harder for it. That's great. Not that they don't work hard on their shows. It's just, you know, to at least get the listening and the following, like, bam, boom, bang. And then all of a sudden, boom, they've got sponsors. I'm like, how do you have sponsors already? Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it can be a little frustrating when you see that. But you're like, listen, man, it is what it is. The world's not fair. Life's not fair. People achieve different things in their life. They had different goals. And the reason why they are celebrities, they worked really hard to become that. So it's a thing now. So pretty much everybody and their mom has a podcast nowadays. It's pretty funny to see, like, when I first started, nobody really had one. And then all of a sudden it was just like, holy shit. It just blew up.
Yeah. I came in at a pretty late time, you know, and I was the same as you. I didn't really care about the followers, you know, or obviously I care about the people listening, but I didn't care about having a bunch of followers or a bunch of downloads or anything. Like, none of that mattered to me. I just really wanted to, and really the whole idea for mine was to just talk to my friends. I never intended on, you know, talking to other people until I had my first guest that I didn't know. And then that kind of just changed everything for me. I enjoyed it so much that I was like, wow, you know, maybe I want to do this more than having my usual friends on, because this is different and I don't know these people and I have a lot to learn from them. And, you know,
yeah.
So it kind of just evolved from that, but it's, I've got like a completely different perspective on it. Cause you know, I came in at a time when, yeah, everybody has a podcast, everybody. And it's so easy to start and, you know, you can kind of just go online and sign up and now you have a podcast and
oh yeah,
you submit it to Apple and yeah, it's so easy nowadays. So yeah, I've got just like this much different perspective of it. So I know, it's really cool to see somebody who started so early. I mean, you said 2012, that's, you know, you've been at it for a while and kind of it sounds like you've gotten really comfortable with knowing like your format and knowing, you know, who you want to have on and being confident with like the things you ask and speak about. I hope I can get to that point someday soon.
Definitely. Well, how long have you been doing it for?
Oh, since November of last year. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really, really new.
Real fresh. Yeah. Nice.
So I've just been trying to be consistent and, you know, put something out every week and,
That's, you know, one of the rules is, you know, if you want to, you know, keep the engagement really going on your media, is just, really have a consistent show. It doesn't have to be every week, but as long as the people know that, like, okay, he's going to release it once a month or bi-weekly or, you know, once a week then. And I'm still that person, like, listen, man, I can't say that. I'd love to, but like, what I'm trying to do now is schedule several people in the same week. So I can actually now have three podcasts and then I can just kind of like, not kick back, but like, okay, well, now I've got three shows I can release literally once a week, which is great. Like, here's one. So I've been trying to do one every week. It wasn't really my intention, but I started to get like a lot of guests at the beginning when I started really putting a lot more energy into it this year. So it was just like everything changed once I started putting a lot of positive energy out there and into it, that I was like, oh, I'm just getting guests like left and right. Okay, I've got to schedule this person here. I got to go here. I got to go there. You know, I'm doing a lot of work. Like I said, not only traveling now to go to their locations, but you know, I bring my full setup. the same setup that I have here, besides the foam walls, I bring with me my laptop, my mixer, my condenser microphones, my separate Phantom power box that I like to run because it's so much quieter than using the board, and just all these things that I like and I'm comfortable with. And I'm just going to bring my whole goddamn podcast studio with me now everywhere, unless it's outdoors and we don't have plug-in power. Then I got my little nice little Zoom recorder, which I highly recommend all podcasters.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, you
should have.
You like that, huh?
I have the one that's super old. I have the original Zoom H2, which is like the old, small, silver one. That's about, holy shit. Wow, that's like 15 years old now. Damn. Wow, I just realized that. I think it's about 15, maybe 12 or something. I could be a little over, but I know it's over 10 years old. I think the original Zoom H2, the new H2, though, is pretty awesome. You can actually record 360 audio, so you can actually record spatial audio with the H2. So for anybody who wants to start recording audio for VR and 360 videos, that's one of the tools you could use.
Yeah, I almost bought one and then ended up realizing I have no idea what I'm doing audio-wise.
Those things are so easy.
Are they?
Yeah, they're so easy.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to look into one. Yeah, I mean, that must be pretty cool, like being from an audio engineer background, though. You said you went to the Art Institute and then, you know, we've got some friends that did that and then they stopped like all programs abruptly and kind of told everybody like, that's it, we're done. I don't know if that's what you were talking about or if they just stopped your program. I know in Colorado they shut down some of the schools actually.
It was the Art Institute.
Yeah.
So like, okay. There's like the Art Institute. So no, yeah. I was down here already and I was planning on going for recording engineering at the Art Institute and they were like, nah, sorry, we're not doing that anymore. And I was like, oh, okay, wow. Yeah,
like, what do you do at that
now
point?
You know, what am I going to do now? Like, Jesus. So I was like, okay, I'll switch my major to industrial design technology because, you know, it was a hobby of mine to want to do special effects makeup for movies. So I was like, oh, I can get into doing cool. that because they did that there. So I was like, awesome. And I really thought that I could like really just like start doing special effects, but no. You first start, you're like, you're taking drawing perspective 1 and 2. And I'm like, raise my hand. I'm like, I did 1 point and 2 point perspective all through high school. Could I not be in this class? Like, I feel like I'm wasting my time and money. You could test out of the class. Okay, cool. How do I do that? Oh, you got to show me a portfolio of like 20 pieces of art that totally proves that you can one draw 1 point and 2 point perspective and basically teach the class. And I was like looking at the teacher, like, are you serious right now with this? Like, why am I going backwards? So I had a problem with the way they did their curriculum, but that's me. I'm always one of those people that doesn't agree with a lot of things, but, yeah. So I did that and I just ended up dropping out because I was just like, this is just not what I thought it might be. And I really want to do something musically. So I dropped out of there. And then ended up finding classes, actually, night classes at the University of Arts. And I was taught analog recording and digital recording when Pro Tools was first just coming out. So I got an internship after that at Sigma Sound Studio, which was Patti LaBelle's studio here. It was like a world famous recording studio in Philadelphia, like right next to, like it was really integrated a lot with Gamble and Huff, and their studio's now gone too. But Sigma Sound was like a world-renowned studio. I got to intern there for a while, which was really cool. I got to have lunch with Chubby Checker, which was like really amazing.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you know who
I
don't know.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool. He was a really awesome guy. But like that was all through just taking those night classes and really talking to my teachers and like just showing them that I was very passionate about working in the music industry and wanting to be a recording engineer for bands and stuff and for anybody who wanted to make music, because I was a musician myself. So I was like, you know, this is awesome, you know. So it all sort of kind of just didn't work out because the internship, it was a non-paid and I had to get a job. And then that job that I had just wasn't really working out timing wise. So I had to stop going to the internship. And then after that, it was just kind of like, oh, you know, just sort of trying to find people to play music with and still try to record things and stuff like that. And eventually start buying my own gear. And stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, over the years, I've gone through so much recording equipment, different types of recording equipment to what I have now, which is so funny because it's so small and it's so portable. And I'm like, wow, I never used to have anything because it was always so bulky. Like, you guys don't get it, man. the mixers and before digital recording came out, it was all analog and it was tape. And oh my God, to like record on the Tascam. Like when you were recording on the Tascam 424 Mark II, man, oh God, you know, the tape, it just sounded like shit. Like you're trying to put like 4, 5, 6 tracks, 8 tracks sometimes on a very thin tape and it just didn't work out very well. You had to make sure you put the bass on the outside of the tape, like the bass track, the bass guitar track, because that was, you know, the edge of the tape would always get worn. So most of the time, like the bass guitar, it's just supporting the low tones most of the time in a lot of music. At the time, really, that's sort of progressed a lot now, the bass guitar. But, you know, it was just kind of like at the time, if always put the bass on the edge of the track or, you know, track two or something like that, because those are the ones that are going to get a little crinkled after a while and it won't really affect the way the music sounds because everything else will still sound really awesome. So nobody will really notice that the bass guitar is a little, you know, muffled now because the tape got crinkled. So, and then cutting that shit and putting it together for editing. Good. I don't even want to talk about that. I did that. I tried that once and I was like, I don't even know how you guys can do this. Like, this is insane. Like to watch this. And then like when Pro Tools came out, it was like, wait, what? You just put a line here and say, cut? What? Oh wait, you just merged this little track in. Oh my gosh. So now we can just literally just put one snare hit and then edit it in on time. What? And, you know, like all these things and quantizing came into play and, you know, MIDI time clocks and stuff like that and syncing, MIDI time code up to virtual instruments and stuff like that. So yeah, I was fortunate enough to come up through like the end of the analog age merging into the digital age that is now basically becoming all digital. It's funny to actually see it be analog and become digital. It gets integrated into being analog and digital, and then it basically becomes all digital. Though, you know, when I plug my bass guitar in, that's an analog signal going into the interface. So that's an analog signal being transformed into a digital signal transmitted back to an analog signal. So you can hear it. That's all that's really doing. It's kind of like the way we are right now. I mean, so people before phones and before cell phones were just people, right? I mean, Now we have these phones that we're tethered to and we'll freak out if we leave it at home. We're sort of becoming cyborgs. We're actually sort of like, there's people who honestly, they need the bionic arm or they need the artificial leg, the bionic legs, the bionic hands. There's bionic eyes now. There's so much bionic stuff. There's things now that you're like, oh, I see how it's going. So first we're analog, then we start to merge into the digital sort of cyber world. So we become cyborgs. And then eventually we're just going to become the machine. There's going to be no more like of us. I think it's just going to be like machine.
It seems like it's headed that way.
what we're going to do to ourselves. We're just going to wipe ourselves out by going full machine. And I posed the question to somebody and I'll ask you. So with plastic surgery, and plastic surgery nowadays is pretty good as long as you get somebody who's really good. If down the road, somebody was like, hey, Adam, I got this really awesome bionic arm. It's loaded with, I mean, heat sensors, cold sensors. There's a built-in drone in it. There's built-in Wi-Fi. There's a built-in cell phone, a sat phone. You can check your email, like everything. It's got a projector for your HoloLens, like all kinds of integrated stuff. this normally runs like, you know, $1 million, but we figure we'll just give it to you, but we got to take your right arm. Would you contemplate giving up your real right arm for a cyber arm if you didn't have to? Like, there was no purpose for you to do it other than to just have the cyber arm?
No. Yeah, that's...
I would totally contemplate it.
Would you? No, I think it's a pretty easy answer for me. Is I really enjoy...
I do, too.
I enjoy being human, I guess. I don't know.
I'd start small. Just, all right, take my hand.
There you go. Maybe a hand I could do, but a whole arm, you know.
Yeah, I'll do my left because my wrist is not great, so... I'll take a new wrist and hand, please. But yeah, I feel that's kind of the way we're going now. I was saying that my dad's an actual cyborg because he's a type 1 diabetic and he has an actual automated pancreas on the outside of his body that feeds a literal hose into his body that gives him his insulin. And I was like, holy shit, Dad, you're an actual cyborg. Like, straight up, you are man and machine has become one. I was like, this is awesome to see. Like, you are a cyborg now. And he just was like, whatever. He didn't care. But I was like, no, you don't understand, man. As a kid growing up with, like, science fiction and watching most science fiction become science fact now, like, come on. That's awesome. I was like, you're a cyborg. I was like, all we need to do is time travel next, and then I'm all set.
Oh, absolutely. Medicine is amazing, especially just in the last... Oh, I don't know, 10, 20 years. I mean, 10 even. 10 years have gone by, and the leaps forward are insane.
It's ridiculous what they can do, man. Growing ears, growing... I mean, what we're starting to do with the brain-to-brain interfaces, where you and I could literally be having this conversation right now, just not even talking, just talking to each other. Or I could control you to move something, depending on what setting we put the headset on. It's just like this guy was making sending an electronic signal to a rat from another room, and they were connected only via like head. Like, well, the rat obviously was, his head was cut open. They put the friggin' electrodes on its brain. They had to do it that way. And then the human was just wearing like a big like brain cap thing that had like massive amounts of wires. And like he just kept thinking about wagging, like the rat's tail wagging, and he made the tail wag from the other room. So
that pretty, kind of stuff's amazing. Wild. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty
amazing,
wild,
man.
Shit.
It's,
So I mean, yeah, man. We're really leaping into some awesome, amazing things, especially with virtual reality and augmented reality. That's some special stuff right there.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, when my kids are my age, what kind of technology exists.
You have kids?
Yeah, I've got three.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've got two little boys and a little girl.
All right. That must be fun and also very... hectic and stressful all at the same time.
I don't know. People say that to me all the time, and I never know how to respond. I don't know if like I have a different perspective, because I did grow up with like a single mom, and you know, my dad wasn't really around and stuff when I was a kid. So I think like I have like this really close bond with my kids because of that. So
that's awesome.
So, like, I love being a dad. It's my favorite thing in the world. Like, I don't know.
That's great.
If a moment goes by where I'm like, you know, where I would reconsider it, I just absolutely love being a dad. But of course, you know, it's not for everybody, and I have nothing but respect for those people. But for myself, yeah, I don't think I could go back. My life's changed too much. Yeah,
you can't.
No, well, yeah. I guess in a literal sense, I cannot go back.
You definitely cannot go back. You can't do that.
Yeah.
But no, that's awesome, man. No, that's good to hear somebody say that. You know, I don't hear a lot of people say that very often. But I guess that's like something that doesn't necessarily come up in a conversation discussion too much. Like, But no, but either way, like I don't can't remember the last time I heard somebody say that, like, no, I love being a dad, man. I think it's awesome, man, you know, and that's great. You know, we never really wanted kids. I'm going to be 40 this year. So, I mean, it's not like there's still enough time, but sure. We're just,
but if you know,
just,
you
we're
know,
just not really, yeah, I don't know. It's just, not something that we, you know, are, planning or at least wanting right now, you know, hey, maybe things will change or something like that. You never know. But, for the longest time and still, you know, still to this time, you know, it is what it is. You know, we like dogs right now. So,
and I think that's becoming, you know, more and more common. And a lot of my friends don't have kids, don't plan on having kids, you know, never wanted kids. I mean, me and my wife are kind of the couple with many children. The friends I do have, you know, they have one child. You know, everybody's kind of the same way, you know, God, having a kid is so hard and stuff like that. And I guess I never saw it that way. My mom never once complained. I think maybe that's what that is. I never heard my mom say, God, this is so hard being a single mom. This is so hard having kids. It's so hard. She never once said that. So maybe that was it.
She may have in private.
In
but
private,
definitely
yeah.
Not out loud.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Not in front of me. I never heard it. Not in front of my brothers. So maybe that had an effect on me.
Yeah.
But I'm sure my brothers and I weren't the easiest kids for sure. I know I wasn't.
I definitely wasn't. Oh yeah, no.
Yeah, I was not easy teenager at all. I was.
Yeah. Cops showing up at the house, like, you know, me and my brother were like the aces with police showing up at the house. His was a little. I don't know. I guess they were kind of equal of like how bad the situations were of like why the cops had to come to the house. So
yeah.
You know, like that shit like that. But like, I was still young. I wasn't like a teenager. I was like 12, I think, or 13.
Oh, yeah.
Or something
okay.
Like that,
so you're
at the time.
Young.
So I still fucked, you know, I still messed up really bad. But like, that was like one of the worst things I ever did. As a teenager, it was more of just like the rebellion and like sneaking out of the house and like sneaking back in and like having fun with that. Like, oh, I didn't wake mom and dad. It's 4 a.m. Yes. You know, or like, somehow just getting home and like making it think like, oh, I just got up early. I couldn't sleep. And I'm drinking coffee when I literally just got home. So now I have to like pretend. I'm like, oh shit, now I can't go to sleep.
Yeah.
Stay up all day. Great. Awesome. But you know, like things like that.
Yeah.
That fun.
That's kind of the trouble I got into too as a kid. Things like that.
Yeah.
Cops rarely came home with me, but it was more because I somehow got lucky and avoided it. More than, you know.
Yeah, I had those too. Yeah.
So that I was very, very fortunate as a kid that I didn't end up in a place I should, you know, that I probably could have gone to. So,
Yeah.
You get lucky.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I got lucky there, but you know, the first time I actually got arrested here in Philadelphia, and it was just so, it was so weird and surreal when it happened. And I was just like, I don't even know how I ended up here. Well, I do now, but I didn't do anything wrong. I just sort of mouthed off to a cop a little bit and she didn't like that. So she took me away and I was like, wow, I didn't know you could do that. Like, I just gave you a look of like, yeah, whatever. And she didn't like the look I gave her. And I went, you know, they chased us out of Love Park because it was like a huge thing before. Yeah, Love Park was like an iconic skate scene. I mean, we were kids in Maine in high school watching little Stevie and his crew and professional skaters tear up Love Park because it was like the perfect part to skate, like perfect architecture. Like, did a man really make this for skaters? It would seem so, but no, he didn't. And then, you know, it became a thing of like, cops are now chasing skaters. Now it's like illegal to skate the park. And so like, we weren't skating the park. We were just sitting there, waiting there. And the cop came over and was like, you better get out of there. We're like, we're just waiting for me. This is before cell phones,
okay.
Before you could actually afford one.
Yeah, yeah.
No, cell phones came out.
I remember those days.
Came out actually. In the, yeah. So you either have to have a beeper, or you would have to have like, yo, call me at the, you know, what's your home number, and then, or call me at this payphone, kind of thing. That's what we had to coordinate, or just meet me at this park at 7. And so like the cop basically was just like, you better get out of there, or, you know, or else we're going to, you know, we're going to force you out. And we're like, all right, well, we're seriously just meeting a friend. So then we left, and then we crossed the street, and we were just going to wait for him across the street. And we're like, you know, hopefully, you know, when we see him, we'll like run over, like, yo, we're over here. We got kicked out of there. And, so then we crossed the street, and all of a sudden we got swarmed by like 3 cop cars. We're all like, whoa, what's happening? And all these cops get out, and you're like, I told you to get out of there, and all you wanted to do is come over here and skate. And you were just going to, we were like, what? What's happening right now? You told us to leave. We left. I don't understand. We're not even on park property. We're across the street right now. Like, what is happening right now? And she was just yapping and yapping. And I was like, you know what? I've had so much authority in my life tell me that I was doing something wrong when I know I wasn't doing something wrong. I don't give a shit who you are. I was like, you don't even know what skateboarding is. We were sitting on our asses over there, and you said we were skateboarding. That's not skateboarding. I threw my board down, got on, did a little tic-tac. I said, that's skateboarding. I was like, we weren't doing that, okay? I was like, you told us to leave. We came over here, and we left, and we complied with you. We had to wait for our friend, so we didn't think we left him. And she was like, all right, you can go. And I kind of like gave her, I gave her a look of like, yeah, that's right. That's what I thought. Shoo away now. And she was like, oh, except this one, he wants to go to jail tonight. And I was like, what? And she threw me up against the car, and like, dude, I had like a sprained wrist and everything, and they cranked the friggin' handcuffs down. They threw me in the back of the paddy wagon. We picked some drunk guy up. He's like, I don't know what he did. I guess he was just drunk in public. I don't know if he fought anybody, but we just picked up this one guy, and he was like, well, you know, trying to talk to me. I'm like, okay, this is not fun. So finally I get to the holding cell. They made me take my shoelaces and my wrist wrap off. I'm like, what? I was like, I'm not going to hang myself in here, guys. I just want to go home. Like, what is happening? Like, they were just being extra special dicks. That's all. Yeah, they kept me there for 2.5-3 hours, and then they let me go. And then, of course, you know, this like thing to appear in court and all that fun stuff, and, you know, whatever. It is what it is. It was just really just a very funny circumstance of like, I gave her a look, and she was just like, no, that's it. You're going to jail.
Maybe she was having a bad day, and you just
pushed that button. Yeah, she probably was. I think she was. yeah, and I did. That's fine. You know, you live and learn. You know, I'm not, you know, hey, whatever. Maybe my life would have been completely different if I never got arrested. I don't know. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I'm one of those people.
For bad or for, you know, for whatever. You know, I'm not saying for better, because I love my life now. You know what I mean? I love my wife. I love my dog. I don't love my job, but I mean, you know, I mean, I just have to take the things that I have in my life, the freedoms that we have, and the things that we're able to do and stuff like that. So it's just like, awesome. You know, it's great.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Well, you know, I think I've had you on here for like an hour and a half. So,
oh yeah, I think so. Wow.
Yeah. No, thank you so much for being on, and actually, before we get off, I think you talked about this a little bit, but would you like to, you know, let people know about your podcast when it's on, a little bit about you know, a quick description. Yeah.
You can definitely find the full show, all of the, like all 68 episodes right now on Podbean. That's the host site. Search East Side Podcast. It is, 2 words, East Side. Like I said, it's a whole different type of guests and type of subjects. So I think there's something for everyone. I've had an MMA fighter on a couple of times. I, you know, hopefully you guys, like the, hopefully you will like the film festival ones, because I did three back to back there. That was pretty cool, with a writer, director, an actress, and an actor. So, you can definitely find me on Instagram as well. It's just Eastside Podcast, and you'll find all the links and everything.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. I really appreciate you being on, and I had a great time. We should.
Yeah, me too. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we should absolutely do it again. And I will. I'm very interested in cross promoting and stuff. I think that's a really cool idea.
And that concludes another episode of Far Betterment. Thank you to all my listeners. Thank you to all my subscribers. And thank you to everybody who's rated the podcast so far. If you haven't subscribed, you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Apple, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, including where you're listening to podcasts right now. And please, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us tremendously. I can't tell you how much it helps us. If you want to give us anything less than 5 stars, please don't. There's really no reason.